All right, Job chapter 17. My breath, Job says, is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? And does not my eye continue in their provocation? Lay down now, put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? For thou hast hid their heart from understanding, therefore thou shalt not exalt them. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Lord, please help us learn from this. In Jesus' name, amen. So Job again is commenting, and one of the things he's commenting is about his foolish friends. And he does, I think, at one point talk to them, but right now he's not talking to them. Right now he's talking to God. And you know what? There's a lot of times where friends and enemies may have something to say. They may have a gripe session on us, and we may have to sit there. But you know what? Sometimes we don't need to talk to them. Sometimes we just need to talk to God. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of times that'll do us better anyway, because if we start talking to somebody that made us mad, we might say some things we regret later. So let's just talk to God. Verse 1, look, it says, my breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. What's he saying? See, this is all poetic language. And King James, if you know what it's saying, you can kind of see it. But man, I'm telling you, the way they speak, we don't live that time anymore. And it's kind of hard to understand. But I want to tell you something. What he's saying is, I'm exhausted. I'm spent. He says, I'm done. He says, I have no more to give. You know, it's interesting. He has no more to give, but who is he talking to? The only one who can give us what we need to get through anyway. He says, I'm spent. I'm exhausted. And then he says, the graves are ready for me. It's like, graves? And somebody might be thinking, graves? You can only have one. Unless you're buried in a few different places or something weird like that. You can only have one grave. But when he says graves, actually what he's saying is the cemetery is waiting for me. The place where the graves are. He says, the cemetery. Just pack me up. I'm ready for the cemetery. Why? He's exhausted. He has hurt and both physically and emotionally for far too long. Look at verse 2. Are there not mockers with me? And does not mine eye continue in their provocation? All his friends have done since they opened their mouth. Now the 7 days before were great. But after they opened their mouth, it was nothing but pain and misery. Accusation. Correction for something he didn't do. And when he says, I'm innocent, they call him a liar. He says, they're mocking me. Well, Job wasn't the only righteous man who's ever been mocked. Now, mind you, he's one of the earlier ones. But I think about Noah. Noah was probably a little before Job. Noah was mocked, I bet you. When he started trying to warn people, there's a flood coming. Turn from your sin. They're like, sin? What? What's a flood? It's going to rain. What's rain? Noah, I'm sure somebody got with their friend and goes, hey, have you heard that crazy preacher Noah? Talking about nonsense?
Noah, I'm sure, was mocked. So how do you know he was mocked? Well, nobody boarded the ark. Nobody took him seriously except his family. Isn't it interesting that they were the ones that were spared? Jesus was both accused of wrongdoing and made fun of.
They trumped up charges on him. They just made him up. And then They put a robe on him, put a crown of thorns on him, and said, "Oh, the king." I have a feeling when they put the crown of thorns on him, they just rammed it down, put a stick in his hand or something, said, "Oh, look, he's the king." They were making fun of him. He was innocent. He had done no wrong. He did that for us. He endured that for us.
And him enduring that is indeed the reason that we're able to endure anything. Let me say that again. Jesus enduring what he endured is the reason that any of us can endure anything. Because without the power of God strengthening his children, we would all be hopeless and bound for hell. You see, Job's friends who were mocking Job, Job's foolish friends were unseeing. Unseeing. They didn't see. They didn't see the truth. It was right in front of their face had they bothered to look, but they didn't see it. Was it because they were just so set in their ways? Maybe. Was it because perhaps they didn't want to see it? I know a lot of people today are unseeing because they don't want to see. They don't want to see it. Job says in verse 3, he tells God, "God, you're the only one who will vouch for me." That's what the surety is. Lay down a surety for me. "Lord, I need you to speak up for me. Vouch for me." Because he says, nobody's speaking up for me. Notice everybody that was there, because God had not yet spoken. Everybody that was there had spoken against Job. Job was the only voice claiming Job's innocence. And Job was the only voice that was correct. Verse 4 says, "For you have hid their heart from understanding, therefore shalt thou not exalt them." They didn't see. They didn't see the truth. But Job might have grabbed on to something here. Because he said, "God, you kept them from seeing it." He says, "Will God do that?" Yeah. Yeah, God will occasionally do that. Now, be honest. Job is recording what Job said. God is not necessarily saying he did. Job said that, okay? God will speak what he speaks later, and we'll know what God has to say. But I want to tell you something. This has happened. God has kept things from people before. In John 12, verses 37 through 40, and I'll just read them. John's writing, he says, "But though he being Jesus, had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, 'Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them.'" God occasionally does keep people from seeing the truth. Think about the road to Emmaus. And I think about Jesus walking with them. They don't see who it is. They tell him what's been going on, and Jesus said, "Hey, look. Look, it's me." He's like, "Hey, I got to tell you something." And he tells them, and he goes all the way back to the Old Testament. He starts telling them what's going on and the prophecies that were fulfilled. And suddenly their eyes were opened. Why? Because God had kept it from them until then. Why? I'm not God. I don't have to answer that. And by the way, neither does he. You don't have to answer that question either. Maybe it's because somebody would have tried to stop it. I really think Peter wanted to.
I really do. When Jesus said, I'm going to die, he said, no, they ain't going to do that to you. When Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me. No, I ain't going to do that. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
But I tell you this. God blinded their eyes. Those are two instances, and I have a feeling there's more than that. So it's very possible that God blinded the eyes of Job's friends. Verse 5 says, he that speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fall. You know, I'm sure that Job's friends were all like, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Oh, you got him there, you know.
Oh, burn. I don't know that they're doing that. But you have this feeling when it talks about flattery that they're kind of cheering each other on. Well, Job says something. I want to read it.
He that speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fall. Do you know?
You remember many chapters back. Well, maybe not many. Maybe it just seems like that. Several weeks back. There we go. They said, either your kids had done something or you have done something, and that's why God took your kids. Y'all remember that? That accusation?
Well, Job says, you better be careful. Because God may very well take yours. His friends were unseen. They didn't even see the danger they were in. Not only were they unseeing, they were unloving. Look at verse 6. He has made me also a byword of the people. And aforetime I was a tabret. Job said,
you guys have made me the kind of person that somebody wants to spit on. Well, not. You guys, he says, have made me look like the kind of person that somebody wants to spit on. You guys treat me like dirt.
Mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as shadow. He's weak. He's tired. And his friends aren't helping any. Upright men shall be astonished at this. And the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. The righteous also will hold on his way. And he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You know, Job knew that eventually he would be strengthened because of his righteous hands. And you know what? It did happen. It did happen. It did. And folks,
we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we're serving Him to the best of our ability. Even if all of hell fights us, and it probably will. In the end, we will be made stronger. Well, many a Christian had died. Yep, and they're stronger than they ever were. Because they're in heaven. And now there's no pain, no sickness, and the bad guy can't get to them anymore. And one day they're going to be getting a new body that ain't got no sickness, ain't got no sick, and ain't got no sin. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, God didn't say our time on earth would be pleasant. He just said that in the end, it was all going to work out. His friends were unloving. But Job knew God was loving. And that somehow
God was going to fix it. Somehow. May not be the way that Job wanted it fixed, but God was going to fix it. It's like, well, how do you know Job knew that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. 13:15. I'm telling you, say, well, you go to that verse a lot. Yeah, because that is probably one of the central verses in Job. Because that says Job is going to trust God till the day he dies, and then that's even if God kills him. And that should be our attitude too.
That should be our attitude as well. Not only were Job's friends unseeing, not only were they unloving, they were also unwise. Look at verse 10. Job says, "But as for you all, do ye return and come now, for I cannot find one wise man among you." How many times
did Job's friends go to the wise men, they'll tell you. Look to the wise men, they'll tell you. Job's like, I don't see any here. He says, I don't see one. Not a one. Their inflated egos, their pride, made it seem to them that they had all the answers when they didn't have a one. Now, there is a world out there right now, many of which deny God. They deny Christ. And their inflated egos, their pride, tells them they have all the answers. And yet when you start talking to them right then, they'll contradict themselves. Because really, they're not even coming up with the answers. They're relying on somebody else. And they're no good either. But we have the Word of God. By the way, that's something Job didn't even have. I don't even know if he had the book of Moses. Job was like one of the earliest books in the Bible ever written, so he might not have even had the Pentateuch at this time. I don't know. He may have had that, because depending on the time that was written. But I mean, he didn't have much to go with. But he still trusted God. Job's friends were unwise. Verse 11. My days are past. My purposes are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart, they change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. The views of Job's friends, the perspectives of Job's friends were very twisted. They changed the night into day. Twisted it around. They made the bad look good and the good look bad. Say, did they? Yeah, they made Job look terrible. But Job was the only one that was right among them. They made themselves look good. But they unknowingly were corrupt themselves.
Job felt like he had no hope. I mean, Job knows that everything's going to go okay in the end. But that hope starts to fade really fast as he continues talking. Verse 13 says, "If I wait, the grave is my house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, 'You are my father.' And to the worm, 'You are my mother and my sister.'" He says, the grave, he says, I'm so close to death now, they're family members. He says, that worm that I'm going to be laying down with forever, well, that's my sister. That headstone, that hole, well, that's my mama. You know, that's interesting. Why is that interesting? That's interesting to me. Now, this is a side note. Fun fact.
kid, Jody, you've recently experienced this, is inside something for a very long time before it's born. And I am reminded when Job said, "The grave is my mother." And I realize this may not be what he meant at all, but I'm just reminded that one day we will all go to the grave if the Lord don't come first. And the grave will be like a mother giving birth, because, man, we're coming out of that grave when Jesus calls again. Just like a baby coming out of the mom.
Oh, Job felt very intimate with death, and you know what? There's a lot of times we feel pretty intimate with our suffering as well. As a matter of fact, I dare say we are closer to our suffering than anybody else is. Somebody says, "I know how you feel," and you're like, "No, you don't." Even after Job's statement of things going okay, things still felt very dark for Job. We could find our lives the same at times, trying to hold on to faith, but maybe hanging by a thread. Verse 15 says, "Where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust." He's like, "I feel like I have no hope." And Job may have felt like he didn't have a friend in the world, but he did. He did. You see,
greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And years down the road, the plan that was already known to God during this time would come to fruition, and the Son of God would be pressed out into human form, born of a virgin, live a perfect life, and die for all the world, so that those who believe on Him, trusting in Him, would be saved. Of course, Jesus rose from the dead. I cannot say He died without saying He rose from the dead. That's just too important a thing to leave out. But I want to tell you something. Job may have thought he had no friends, but God was Job's friend. And if you know Jesus Christ, no matter how bad your life is, no matter how rough things are going, no matter how much you think, "I've lost it," God is your friend. Jesus is your friend. He died for you. And He rose again for you. And now listen to, there's a lot of people that have died for me. I only know one that rose from the dead for me. There's a lot of soldiers that we should be thankful for. They died for us. But only Jesus rose for us. I want to tell you something. It takes a whole lot more power to rise than it does to die.
You may think you have no friends, but if you know Jesus Christ, God is your friend. Maybe there's somebody here who says, "Well, I don't know if God is my friend." I ask you this. Has there ever come a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner? And you knew that Jesus died on the cross for you. You knew He rose from the dead. And you asked Jesus to forgive your sins. Maybe to make you a better person. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God is your friend. When you are a child of God, God is not just your friend, He's your brother. Jesus, rather, is your brother. God is your father. The father is the father. But God is your friend. I think of Jesus when he's talking to his disciples, or his close disciples, his apostles. That would be what they end up being called. And, you know, he says, I don't call you servants. He says, servant doesn't know what the master does. He says, I call you friends because I'm sharing everything with you. Of course, he dies for them too. Rises from the dead for them as well. He called them friends. I believe he calls us friends as well. So the world may reject you. It will. Your friends may abandon you. Happens too often. But God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Another question I have is, Job's friends weren't very good. What kind of friend are we? Are we unseen? Are we not paying attention? Are we saying we love somebody, but we're not really paying attention? That's not love. Are we unloving? Do we just want to pile it on? Do we enjoy seeing somebody suffer? Listen, there are people out there that just love to see somebody suffer. That's not love. There's a lot of people that love to put people down because they feel like it brings them up. That's not love. Then there are those that are unwise. Oh, sinner, if you do not know Jesus Christ, the most foolish thing you could ever do is leave this room without accepting him.